Good morning again. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 1 as we continue our study in the Gospel of Mark. Last week we began looking at John the Baptist, and I want to finish up that message as we look at you and John the Baptist, considering this question of how passionate are you for Jesus? And as you remember, if you were here last week, we looked at this definition of passion. Passion for Jesus. It is a wholehearted, sustained, committed love to Jesus and His kingdom. And so it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with emotion. Emotion kind of comes in and out, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But passion is this what the way I'm defining it, is this wholehearted devotion over a long period of time. The big idea for the message is your passion for Jesus will affect change. It will. It'll affect your work life. It'll affect the work environment. It'll infect your home, in your community, wherever. And as we saw last week with Dave and Jess Winifred here with us, as they shared their own story, this passion for Jesus for the college students there in that university town in China, and devoting, what, 6+ years of their lives there because of a passion for Jesus. We see passion in so many different people, and we especially see it in John the Baptist. So last week, we looked at this idea of him being like an icebreaker and just plowing through that hard ground, that hard surface, making a way, making a path, just as an icebreaker does for shipping lanes. And so John the Baptist did that, preparing the way for Jesus. If John had not done his work, we're not sure exactly how effective Jesus' early ministry would have been. He was the one who pointed to Jesus and said, He is the Messiah. He's the chosen one. He's the one you need to place your faith in. Don't look to me. Look to Him. And so last week we considered the first point. To be passionate for Jesus means there is a burning commitment to Him. John chapter 1, they came to John and said, "Are you the Messiah?" And he said, "No, I'm not the one. I'm the guy out in the wilderness telling everybody, prepare the way for the Lord. That's my purpose." The next day when Jesus appears, John points to Him and he says, "Look, He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then people began to follow after Jesus. And this didn't upset John. It upset his disciples, upset John's disciples. They came to him later on and said, "John, look, they're leaving us and they're going to him. What are you going to do?" And John gives us that famous line, which should be kind of the cry of our own heart. "He must increase, I must decrease." I don't want people to be committed to me. I want them to be committed to Him. I don't want them following me. I want them following Him. And we see this with John the Baptist. He understood his role. There was a burning commitment to Jesus. And so, you know, at the end of the day, this statement I made to conclude the message last week is a good one. At the end of the day, do you want people pointing to you or do you want them pointing to Him? And if you remember, we had that little exercise where we said, you know, He has given it to me, I give it to you, but all praise goes to Him. He gives me the gifts, the talents, the abilities, the opportunities. I steward them, I grow them, I manage them, whatever. I give them to other people. But in the end, it all came from Him and all praise goes to Him. John the Baptist understood that. There was this burning commitment to Jesus. Let's get to the second point now. The second thing of what it means to be passionate for Jesus is this. There are clear lifestyle decisions that set you apart. Lifestyle decisions that set you apart. Look at Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. It says this, "This messenger who was," it says in verse 3, "who was preparing the way for the Lord, this messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they have repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John, and when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven with coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey." Clear lifestyle decisions that set you apart if you're passionate for Christ. Listen, I mean, he lived a minimalist lifestyle. He didn't care what he wore. He didn't care what people thought because he said, "It's not about me. My commitment again is fully to Jesus Christ. And because of that commitment, it affected what he did and how he lived. He went around baptizing people. Now, baptism during this time in history wasn't unheard of, but it was a bit unusual to have mass baptisms. In fact, it was very unusual. And so here he is, he's doing these odd things way out in the wilderness. Again, he's not coming into town. He's keeping himself separated. He's calling people to come and to hear the message about preparation, getting ready for the Messiah. What I want you to know is this. His passion shaped his lifestyle. Let me say it again. His passion shaped his lifestyle. It affected everything about him. What he wore, what he ate, where he lived, and how he lived, and what he did. And our passions shape our lifestyle as well. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go out to the swamps of Sweeney or wherever and start eating toads and cockroaches. I'm not suggesting you will be make a name for yourself if you do that, you know, and part of that name will have crazy in it, but I'm not suggesting that you do that, but I am suggesting that what you do is a reflection of your passions. Your passion shapes your lifestyle. You see, when you tithe or give above a tithe, it shapes your lifestyle. You're saying through your money, you know, that Jesus is important and the work of his kingdom through this church is important. And it shapes it. It alters the way you have to do life. Some of you have made the lifestyle decision to homeschool your children because you want to have Christian influence in their lives. Again, that's reshaped your life because of that decision, your priorities. Even getting up this morning, coming to church. You know, they say, the surveys always say that 40% of people are active church members. That's baloney. I mean, you consider how many people got up in your neighborhood and went to church this morning. I mean, honestly, maybe 10 to 20%. And you did that. It is shaping your lifestyle. Your lifestyle is simply this. It's the outward expression of your inward convictions. Again, lifestyle is your outward expression of your inward convictions. And can people see through your lifestyle that Jesus has made a difference? Can people see the way you handle yourself and the way you interact with others and the way you spend your money and what you watch and the way you spend your time? That, you know what? I can tell Jesus has definitely made a difference in that person's life. So how does your passion shape your lifestyle? Let me tell you this, and this will be on the screen. Your passion always touches three areas of your life. It touches your money, it touches your time, and it touches your attention. You think about the things outside of going to school or working, those things that preoccupy a lot of people's time. Besides those two things, what has your money, what has your time, and what has your attention? And that will define what your passion is. So again, just to leave you with this message, can people tell by your lifestyle choices that you have a passion for Jesus? The third thing that it means to be passionate for Jesus is this, is that there are courageous things you have to say with both words and action. When you're passionate, there are going to be times you're going to have to take a stand or have to say something. And again, you see this in John the Baptist and his commitment to Jesus. Turn to Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 3 and then jumping down to verse 7. Luke 3, verse 3 says, "Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented, that is, they'd turned from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven." Now listen to how he preached to them. If you want to draw a crowd, this is what you say. Verse 7, "When the crowds came to John for baptism, what did he say? These encouraging words, 'You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee from God's coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we are safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. And so the people were asking him, so what do we do? He replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with all those who are hungry. Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked John, Teacher, what should we do? Again, listen to what he says. He says, collect no more taxes than the government requires. His soldiers even came to him. They asked, what should we do? And he said, don't extort money or make false accusations and be content with your pay. Even the governor of Judea, Herod Antipas, it says in Mark chapter 6, he protected John. And it says he called John to himself and John would speak to him directly. And it says from the NLT that what John said scared him. But he still kept John around because he liked him. John was direct. I mean, you read these words. I mean, it's amazing that anybody would even follow him after saying the things he said. I mean, can you imagine? Here he has hundreds, if not thousands, of people coming to listen to him, and he calls them a bunch of snakes. I mean, that would never draw a crowd in America. But people understood, you know, this guy's passionate. He's getting us ready for something significant here. John was bold. He said the things that needed to be said. He was not politically correct. He wasn't a person that was trying to coddle people. So government leaders, religious leaders, the military, they all came to him and said, what should we do? And he did not hold back. He was bold. And he was bold in his actions and his word because it was a reflection of his passion for Jesus. We're all going to express our words and our actions differently with our passion, concerning our passions for Jesus. But however we say it, however we do it, it needs to be done with courage. John made it clear to everyone that Jesus was the only way. In John chapter 3, they came to him and were asking, you know, again, hey, we're losing disciples. And John said, look, they need to believe in Jesus. They need to have faith in Jesus, not in me. And if they don't believe in him, God's wrath is upon them. Again, he was truthful. The disciples, again, his followers said, we're losing people. And he said, I don't care. It's not about me. He said the hard things. He said the courageous things because of his passion. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about this subject of having candor with kindness. You know, just saying the truthful thing, saying the honest thing, but saying it with compassion. And I believe the Lord would have us do that in this day. This day, which is, I mean, the motto of the time that we're living in is, don't bring your Christianity to work. Don't bring it to school. I mean, we're hearing that loud and clear from our government. Don't do it. And friend, you can't anymore not take your Christianity to school than you can leave your eyeballs on the coffee table before you go to school or work. I mean, it's impossible. It's inherent in who you are. I'm telling you this because there are going to be times that you have to be like John the Baptist and speak the truth or do the truth, show the truth, regardless of what your leaders or the key influencers or your boss or your teachers say. To be passionate for Jesus means there are times you have to be courageous. You know, I think again about that county clerk in Kentucky who's taken that stand, you know, not issuing the marriage license for the homosexual couple. She's saying, because it's against my religious beliefs. Boy, she has, that's powerful. I think about Mike Coleman's niece. Mike was telling me about her and her love for Israel and the Jews and how she wants to share her faith and has gone on mission trips to Israel to share her faith with the Jewish people. And the last time she went, she really didn't have an opportunity to do it as much. She was upset, got on the plane to come home, frustrated because of the lack of opportunities. When she sat down next to an ultra-Orthodox Jew. In fact, the plane was filled with them, dozens of these ultra-Orthodox Jews, the one with the long hairs and sometimes they wear the phylactery, the little box on their head and the hats. I mean, these are the most committed of all the Jewish people. And he, the young man, began to talk to Mike's niece in English because he wanted to work on his English. And then she responded in Hebrew. She'd been speaking Hebrew, I can't remember what Mike said, 6 years, 10 years, I don't know, for a long period of time. And this fascinated the man. In fact, it fascinated all of these ultra-Orthodox Jews. And she, for the next 2 hours, was able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all these men, this captive audience on this plane as they all were traveling to New York City together. I mean, that's courageous, taking advantage of those opportunities. I think about, I don't know if you've been watching this, the Center for Medical Progress, the release of these videotapes that have happened in the Planned Parenthood places. It's just horrific what they have been recording about how they have ripped the babies up, of course, through the abortion process, and then they pull the parts out and then sell those parts to medical businesses who use them for research. And they're exposing this to the nation. I thank God for them. They're taking a courageous stand. People are saying, stop, don't do it. And they say, no, we have to do this. People need to know. If you've not heard about it, I'm telling you, it is almost like you are listening to German doctors talking about experimentations on Jews in Nazi concentration camps. I mean, it is that horrific. And I thank God for people like these that are standing up. They're courageous in their words and their actions. And I would tell you, your courageous things may never be known on this earth, but heaven's court hears them and sees them. And that's what's important. To be passionate for Jesus means there are times you're going to have to be fearless in the things that you do and you say as we prepare the way for the Lord's return. So let me just wrap this thing up again by looking at that definition of passion. A passion for Jesus is a wholehearted, sustained, committed love to Jesus and His kingdom. And the big idea of your passion for Jesus will affect change in every area of your life. Now, for the next 30 seconds, I want you to look at these three questions that are on the screen and just reflect upon them for yourself and what it means to you. I want to also emphasize on the back of the worship guide, you have a series of questions. If you'd like to do further study on John the Baptist, this application to your life, please do that. As I was kind of finishing up the message, another thought ran across my mind, and that is, how do you grow in your passion for Jesus? Just looking at John's life, an application for us, how can I grow in my passion for Jesus? Let me give you four things, quick things. Number one is this. There is a concentration on Jesus all the time. A concentration on Jesus all the time. You see that with John's life. At the end of his life, again, he struggled a little bit about who Jesus was. I believe he recommitted himself. But all throughout his life, he was committed to Jesus and His kingdom. Second thing is this, wilderness wanderings. Why is this important? What does that mean for you? Well, we have to break off from the world. I'm telling you, Christians, we are too influenced by the world. You think about how much this constant wave of the world hitting us, it influences the direction of our life, the temperature of our own spiritual passion for Christ. So what does that mean? I mean, practically, turn off the radio, turn off the music, quit using your phone as an IV. Use it as a tool. I mean, too many of us, we're just too connected. We need that wilderness in our life where we can break off and just and be able to encounter the Lord. I believe that was one of the reasons that he had such a passion. A third thing is minimal living. Minimal living. A simple lifestyle. The pursuit of stuff and then the maintenance of that stuff does nothing but drain passion for Christ. Because that becomes your focus. Getting stuff, taking care of stuff, whatever. Making sure I got enough stuff. It affects your passion level. And then finally, number four, again, from John's life, is hanging around like-minded friends and followers. Hanging around like-minded friends and followers. Let me tell you, one of the most important things you need to do week after week is connect yourself with Christians. I mean, that's why church is so important, to come to a place, to be among people where that fire is renewed week in and week out. John was raised in the wilderness, but it seems most likely that he was raised by a group of radical followers of God, and they were called Essenes. And these radical followers instilled in him a deep passion for the Messiah. I'm telling you, your friends will influence how passionate you are for Jesus. So those are just four things you can learn as you try to grow in your passion from Jesus as we reflect upon the life of John the Baptist. So let's stand together and let me pray for you and speak a blessing over you. If you are here in our second service, as soon as the service is over, my wife will be in the back. If you're attending for the first time, she'll be in the atrium and she would like to meet you and provide you with a gift. Thank you so much for being here. Our prayer team will be down front to pray with you, whatever your needs are. Don't get away with them without them praying for you. Let me pray for us now. Father, I thank you for giving us John the Baptist as an example of what a passionate, radical follower of Jesus looks like. And Lord, I pray that in our own way that you would increase, through whatever means, our passion for Jesus, and show us how to break away from this, the influence of the world, from maybe other ungodly influences, and teach us, oh Lord, how we can concentrate upon Jesus more effectively, more fervently. We pray this in His most powerful name. Amen. Now let me send you off with this blessing, this benediction. May this week you experience the pleasure of your Heavenly Father. May you know the intimate fellowship of Jesus, and may the Holy Spirit fill you with a renewed passion for Jesus and His kingdom. Amen.